Today, we'll have Disneyland vet Steven's trip report from November. That's coming up on this episode 232 of WW Prep to Go. Hello, and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 232. So today is another trip report. You know, we try to do about one a month, and this is the one for November. This one is a lot of fun because Steven spent a lot of time and effort planning his trip for his family, and they are normally Disneyland people, so it was interesting to see them going to Disney World and the inevitable comparisons. Many of the comparisons, as you will hear, are made by him, some of them by me, because I'm always curious what people think about the two. So that'll be fun. You'll hear that in just a second. I do want to mention that we are in the process of publishing our own Disneyland content on the website. We go multiple times per year and have for years. So it seemed like an oversight to not have our own content. So we are in the process of doing that. And I will link to it in the show notes. It's not complete yet because it takes some time to put together a whole new section, but I will link to what we have so you can check it out if you're interested, especially since this episode has lots of references to Disneyland. So without further ado, here is Steven.
Welcome to the podcast, Steven.
Hi, thank you, Shannon.
It is lovely to talk to you on this Tuesday night. We are talking on October 29th. When is your trip?
So I have the trip scheduled starting Friday, November 8th, and we'll be returning on Sunday, November 17th.
You and I are going to overlap a little bit. So
oh, that's great.
We'll have to see what your plans are and see if we're going to be in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of a very hectic schedule, so I'm cramming it a lot and possibly too much, but we'll see what we'll be able to accomplish.
Well, you have a nice long trip, so you're going to be able to get a lot done. So I'm curious to hear what your plans include. How did you – let's see, who's going on this trip with you?
So it's myself, my wife, and my daughter, who's 11.
Have you guys been before?
No, we are avid Disneyland visitors. So we're on the West Coast in the Bay Area, and we go down about once a year. In 2018, we did go down three times in one year to kind of get it out of our systems and then prep for the Disney World trip.
What made you decide to try Disney World this time?
So my daughter is 11, and I feel like she's old enough to keep up and remember the trip. And it's something that, you know, I've always wanted to visit Disney World. It's been on my bucket list, and it's always been a matter of the flight and, you know, the extra hassle and just, you know, all the planning that's involved, which I've been dealing with for the last year or so, because I never really did any detailed research about Disney World. You know, I knew about it, I'd read about it, but we were always kind of the Disneyland commando, sometimes going 7 days in a row. You know, just having a blast down there. So I felt like this is the time to try it.
Yeah. I have a feeling a lot of parents of 11-year-olds do get in a bit of a hurry to do things while they're still young.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just it's a great age, and, you know, we're kind of past the characters, not really interested in a lot of, you know, character experiences. This trip, it's all about the rides and riding things that are either different or what we don't have out here on the West Coast.
Yeah. Okay, that's going to be interesting to hear about. I can't wait to hear you compare. How did you decide on these particular dates?
Long story, make it short. Originally, I was shooting for around December, and then when I heard that Galaxy's Edge would possibly open in December, I wanted to avoid that. So we chose a little bit earlier in November. I guess I missed that mark, but at least I'm getting there before the main ride opens and larger expected crowds. So we chose around Veterans Day because we wanted to avoid any kind of travel around Thanksgiving and also give ourselves enough time to recover so then we can go into the Thanksgiving mode.
Right. You're kind of in between busy times, right?
Yeah.
Like if you've studied crowd calendars at all.
Because oh, the, I've, So, yeah, and I'm sure, with craft calendars.
Yes, I have a feeling if you've been planning for a long time, yep. you have, because the first week of November is like what is nicknamed Jersey Week, and there's a half yep. marathon, and then as you mentioned, obviously there's Thanksgiving, so you're kind of in that pocket.
Yeah, I'm hoping we hit at a good time, but also, you know, we're prepared. We set our expectations. I know we're going over Veterans Day weekend, which mm-hmm. will be a little crazy. I've made a few reservations that will hopefully, you know, mitigate that. But we've been at Disneyland before during spring break and during not Christmas and Thanksgiving, but we've been there during busier times. And, you know, I love Max Pass out at Disneyland. So it's going to be interesting to see how the whole Fast Pass Plus thing works.
Yes, absolutely different. We are currently adding a lot of Disneyland content to the site because we go all the time. And so we might as well be helping people learn from us. But yep. the advice going from Disneyland to Disney World is very different. So it's going to be interesting to hear your perspective.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is correct, and it might tick off some Disneyland people, but I'm starting to get the feel that, you know, Disneyland and California Adventure, they're really great theme parks, but Disney World is kind of more of the resort experience. You know, you don't have all the extra hotels and the streets and, you know, everything that you deal with in Anaheim, and you're more inside the Disney bubble at Disney World. So I've been preparing the family. Listen, it's not going to be going from one ride to the other, one exit to one entrance, you know, right around the corner. It's going to be, we're going to take some time walking and experiencing everything.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to let us know if that's how you feel after this trip. But I think I think you're right. I mean, it definitely is more of a bubble experience than Disneyland, but there's pros and cons. They're both amazing. Thankfully, we don't have to choose if we don't want to. We can we can enjoy both. Okay, so you talked about your dates already. Now, where are you staying for this trip?
So that was another long journey. At first, you know, I started out by trying to buy DVC points online, and, you know, because it looked like it was an economical way to get either, you know, the Beach Club or Grand Floridian. And I quickly found out that it's not as guaranteed as just buying directly through Disney, you know, that you have to put in the request and then you're on a waiting list. And I just didn't like waiting. So I decided to book directly with Disney. And it worked out in the end, because I think if we could choose any resort, or if I could choose any resort, it would be Port Orleans, and specifically Riverside, because my family absolutely loves the New Orleans area of Disneyland. And it reminds me so much of it. I just think they're really going to like staying in Port Orleans, Riverside. And my wife and daughter, you know, I'm in another room. I've asked them to stay on the other end of the house because they know nothing of where we're staying. And they know nothing of all the special things that I have planned. So it's all going to be one big surprise.
So let's talk about that. How are you? So they know that the trip is happening, but the details are not known.
Exactly. They know when we're going, they know when we're coming back. And other than that, I know of specific instructions for fast passes. We always at least ride Peter Pan once when we go to Disneyland for my wife. And my daughter absolutely loves Big Thunder, so I made sure that those were high on the list for the Fast Pass pluses.
Okay, so you took their interest into consideration, but the details are unknown.
Completely unknown. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I also really love the New Orleans Square section of Disneyland, so I hope that you really like Riverside. And if you have time to go over to French Quarter.
Yep.
Then that will be nice as well.
There's a little tradition of my daughter and I, when we're in Disneyland, we'll start saying the word beignets, like we're zombies, mm-hmm. until we walk over to the New Orleans area and get beignets, you know, with my wife kind of rolling her eyes the whole time. But that's another thing. It's like, oh, we can go over and get beignets over at the French Quarter.
Yes. And they just opened a brand new section just for the beignets at French Quarter. So.
Oh wow, a dedicated beignet station. I'm hooked. Might have to schedule a whole day just for that.
Yes, it's worth it. Yeah. One time I was taking an Uber or Lyft back to Riverside, and our driver got lost and dropped us off at the French Quarter, and I was like, "Oh well, we're here. We have to get beignets."
Yep. And it's just, you know, it's just something that you do in Disneyland. We eat them while we walk over to the Haunted Mansion, so it's kind of a tradition, and doing some research, finding that that's the only place, you know, we're definitely going to have to hit some beignets up.
That's right. You can continue the tradition on the other coast.
Yep.
All right. So we know where you're staying. So when it came time to plan out your days, because you have a nice length of trip, right. And I know that you're probably comparing a lot to Disneyland as you're doing it. How did you decide to break up your trip among the parks? Like, how many days?
Oh boy, that was the struggle. So we're doing 8 days, and initially I thought it would be 2 days for each park, but it sort of didn't turn out that way with all the extra stuff that I scheduled. So as I was planning things, there was this kind of natural progression. And again, the goal was to experience rides and some shows, but that kind of played into the planning. So initially it was 2 days per park, and now it's looking like it's going to be 3 for Magic Kingdom, 2 for Animal Kingdom, 2 for Epcot, and then 1 for Hollywood Studios.
All right. What were the factors that made that change?
Well, one of the things that I'm concerned about is the time zone change. Realizing this while I was making my FastPass Plus reservations at 4 in the morning our time. Mm. We're rope droppers at Disneyland, so we usually make sure that we hit the parks and then sometimes go back for breaks, other times don't, and then stay until closing. So I just don't see us rope dropping, with the time zone change. We really don't travel that much, so I was concerned about that, so I planned this trip all around evening activities, thinking that we would show up later in the day to the parks and then just staying later at night, which is going to be completely different from what we normally do. So I'm really hoping that works out.
Yeah, that is a perk of FastPass Plus, is that you can book it, well in advance without having to be in the park, which, for MaxPass, you do have to be in the park.
Yeah. I kind of, right now I still prefer MaxPass, because as soon as my, ticket was scanned, I'd be pulling fast passes, and it seems like we got a lot done. This way it's kind of, the 180 days out to do the dining reservations and then trying to make the fast pass work with the dining reservations. So a lot of our reservations kind of went out the window. And then I, began to realize, the amount of time it would take for each dining reservation. So we're not really used to a lot of sit-down meals in Disneyland, because there's really not that many places for the formal sit-down meal inside the park. So we're just going to kind of sort of play it by ear, but I do have a few dining reservations.
Are you on the dining plan by chance?
No, nope. I'm a spreadsheet addict, and I ran the numbers, and it didn't make sense for our family, primarily because we like to eat breakfast in the hotel. So we don't have to worry about, standing in line and getting breakfast somewhere. We'll do like a brunch, maybe a couple of days. But, we're probably going to do the Amazon delivery to the hotel, and did all the research about that. And then we're kind of interesting where we eat a full meal during the day and then just kind of snack throughout the night, just kind of grab things here and there, sometimes have a second meal. So it's, it didn't really seem to work out to buy the dining package.
Okay. It's good to do the math, because sometimes it doesn't. Yep. But you did mention you have some reservations made. So what are those?
Yeah, well, the first reservation that we have, what is it? It's on, I won't say the particular day because I don't have it here. We reserved a Hoop-Dee-Doo review. Mm-hmm. So that's on our Sunday night. Where we're going to be at Epcot during the day and then do the Hoop-Dee-Doo review at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that's just, we love the Golden Horseshoe, and they took away the musical act a while back from the Golden Horseshoe, and that's something that we absolutely love. So I think Hoop-Dee-Doo is going to remind us of that and, really be a treat.
Okay, what else?
And so I also have throughout, the hardest one for me was getting reservations for Sci-Fi. Hmm. Initially, I can only get them at 9 o'clock at night. And I did the refresh method for about 3 months, just occasionally checking to see if there were reservations. And I got it down to 7:45 for the day that we're there. We also do have one Be Our Guest reservation, and that's kind of for a lunch. And I'm definitely going to do the pre-ordering. I've heard enough of your trip reports from previous guests on the show to realize, hey, that's going to save a ton of time. Mm-hmm. I have a supercalifragilistic brunch scheduled, And although I did say that, you know, my daughter and my wife really aren't into characters, Mary Poppins is a huge hit in my family. And being able to see Mary Poppins and Winnie the Pooh all at one meal, I think that's going to be huge.
And that's 1900 Park Fair.
Yes, 1900 Park Fair. Sorry, it's the supercalifragilistic whatever thing.
Yeah, I know, it's confusing because the meals have names and the restaurants have names.
Yeah. So it's a little out there. We have one lunch at the Skipper Canteen. Again, it's mostly because of the theming. We're huge Jungle Cruise fans. Mm-hmm. We have a lunch slash dinner at the Beer Garden in Epcot. Mostly for the atmosphere. And we also just happen to like German food. And then also a reservation at Liberty Tree.
Liberty Tree Tavern at Magic Kingdom. And is that, what meal is that?
That's another lunch-ish type meal. And that's designed to be, that's on our last day. So that's a dinner.
Okay. Got it. And then your plan is to get some food delivered through Prime Now and then do like quick service or snacking type stuff in between.
In between. Yeah. That's our normal pattern. I'm hoping we stick to it.
Okay. And then you talked a little bit about fast passes and how you're doing that. Did you have any trouble getting them when you went to book them at 4 a.m.?
No. Technically, no. I did try on the first full day that we're there, which is Saturday the 9th, to get a flight of passage fast passes. But I knew that typically people work backwards. So they start booking their last day first because of the availability. And I just shot in the dark, tried. That was the only one that I didn't get that I was shooting for, was that one on the first Saturday that we're there. And totally fine with that. It's, We'll do without, because that Saturday night we're going to be doing the Ultimate Nights of Adventure tour.
Oh, let me write that down. Ultimate Nights of Adventure. That's at Animal Kingdom.
Yes. Yeah. So the Friday that we get there, we arrive in Orlando at 6:30. And then the first surprise that I have for them is I reserved a carriage ride around the New Orleans property at about, I think it's at 9 o'clock. So I'm hoping that's not too tight. So the Saturday night is the second surprise, and that's the Ultimate Nights of Adventure. So that's why I wasn't too upset about the flight of passage, missing that fast pass reservation.
Yeah. And that includes, the two rides in Pandora.
Yep.
What else does it include? Do you know?
It also includes the Safari, and Expedition Everest and Dinosaur. And it also includes a meal.
Okay. Nice. Love that. It's such a great way to get a lot done, the VIP tours. All right. And then the carriage tour is an option at your hotel.
Yep. And I considered backing two back-to-back carriage tours and asking the driver to stop so we can pick up beignets and then bring them back in the carriage. But I thought, you know, that's going to be too much. We'll just, you know, do the carriage tour. And if we're there at the hotel on time, you know, we'll take that. It'd be a nice kind of tour around the resort.
Yeah. And you'll be there for so long that it's a pretty easy walk.
Yeah.
So not too bad. Okay. That's lovely. All right. So you've told us about a couple extras that you've booked already. Are there other things on your list that you've also booked that we need to talk about?
Yeah. So Saturday night is the Ultimate Nights of Adventure. And then Sunday we're doing Epcot, and that's the Hoop-Dee-Doo day. And that's at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I thought about taking, a monorail and boat to the resort for Hoop-Dee-Doo, but we're probably going to take a minivan instead, just to make sure we get there on time, and then maybe take the monorail and boat back.
You have done your research.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, okay, you know, we really want to, you know, experience the boats and the monorail, but. I've been reading about minivans, and they know where they're going, and they can go extra places where, you know, Lyft can't. So I don't want to chance it going there, but coming back, you know, if something happens, we can absorb that time.
Yep. Minivans can take you right to Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, and no other cars can. So perfect.
Yep.
All right. What else?
So after Hoop-Dee-Doo on Sunday night, we're going to possibly turn in early because Monday morning, which is Veterans Day, is our only early morning that we have scheduled that we must make it into the park by 8:30 because I reserved the Ultimate Day of Thrills tour.
Ultimate Day of Thrills. All right. Yeah. So we have multiple tours.
Yeah. And part of it was, you know, I was looking at staying at a more expensive hotel, but then, you know, staying at Riverside really kind of opened up the budget to do other things. On top of that, what I did is I bought an annual pass for myself, and my wife and daughter have park hopper tickets. So I'm using the discount from my annual pass, and it's really paying off with the tours, the hotel discount, and, you know, hopefully all the meals.
I love this. Spreadsheet people tend to be my people, and you are one of them. And the reason it's so clever is that there are so many ways to configure a trip. And that annual pass upgrade, as you mentioned, can really discount some things. You'll get annual pass discounts during your trip. You'll get photo downloads. There's so many things.
Yeah, I was able to cancel the memory maker. And the only drawback is when I told my daughter that I bought an annual pass for myself, she was a little angry. She's like, how come I didn't get one? And it's like, well, kid, it costs a lot of money. And also, I had it in my cart the night before, and the price increase happened.
Oh.
So, yeah, I was really kicking myself because it was throwing off my spreadsheet with my total estimated savings. But I discovered that Sam's Club, the day after the price increase, they still had it for the old price for about 2 or 3 days. So for the first time in my life, I became a Sam's Club member and got the old price. So I'm a little concerned about taking the voucher and getting it processed into an annual pass. I don't want that to delay things, but, you know, we'll just roll with it.
Yeah. All right. You let us know how that process goes, but hopefully it won't be a big deal. Okay. Yep. Ultimate Day of Thrills Tour is where you left off.
Yep. And that's on Veterans Day. And I figure that will help kind of, you know, offset the crowds. So we have to show up at Magic Kingdom by 8:30. And the tour, you know, through all the reviews that I've read, is right up our alley. It hits, you know, all the major thrill rides in Magic Kingdom, plus the Haunted Mansion. And I believe it does Pirates as well, but I'm not sure. But it's all of the mountains, including Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And then once you're done, they take you into what do they call them? The Utilidors. Mm-hmm. And you get into a van, and they give you snacks, and they drive you over to Epcot, and then you eat lunch there at Epcot, ride Soaring, which we're not too, you know, it's not high on our list because we have it over here, and, you know, we've done it a lot. And then after Soaring, they take you over to Hollywood Studios, and you ride Rocking Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror, Slinky Dog, and I think that's it. I'm not sure. There may have been a couple others, Midway Mania, and a few of the others, but that's going to check off a lot of rides off our list.
Yeah, it is. But Soarin' has a different ending, so you might enjoy comparing it.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, and also one of the things that I've done is I've avoided all YouTube videos about the Walt Disney World version of rides, so I'm surprised as to what's going on. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, because the one in California Adventure ends at Disneyland. You know, the Soaring of the World, right? So everyone around the world has a different ending.
Yeah. The only other thing, and I'm a little concerned about this day because we're going to be starting early in the morning, and then that's the day that we have sci-fi reservations at 7:40. But I was also able to – I've been keeping Galaxy's Edge out of my mind thinking, we have it on this coast. I'll get to it eventually. It'll be fine. But I happened to score Olga reservations at 4:40. So hopefully the tour, people are saying that it's done by about 3:30. We'll hit Oga's. Is it Oga's?
OGA.
Mm-hmm. OGA. So Oga's at 4:40. And then I have passes for another one that's kind of high on the list. And you know, Disney World vets, you know, might not understand this, but the Indiana Jones stunt show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're huge Indiana Jones fans. So that's something that we have to absolutely experience as well. So hopefully it's not going to be too long of a day, starting at 8:30 and ending at about 8 o'clock at night, but we'll see. And with any of these, you know, if we start to burn out, I'm not too afraid to pull the plug and just change plans.
Right. If I understand wanting to avoid duplication because you have to maximize your time, but if you do duplicate things at Disney World that you have at Disneyland, I'll be curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, yes. And the two Magic Kingdom rides that are must rides for me, and I'll call it this. I don't call it the Tomorrowland Transit, but it's the People Mover. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a favorite ride of mine as a kid, and we haven't had it in Disneyland for so many years. And the other one is Country Bear Jamboree. Mm-hmm. Have to see it again. So those are my top two. If I get those done and then fly back home, I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah. Everything else is bonus. Yeah. After that. Okay. All right. So you have your long Ultimate Day of Thrills day, which yep. ends at Hollywood Studios. What's after that?
So after that day is Tuesday. It's a Magic Kingdom day. I didn't pull any Fast Pass pluses until about 1 o'clock because I thought we could, you know, probably sleep in and take our time. We have Be Our Guests scheduled at about 2:25. Then we have Peter Pan and Seven Dwarves fast passes. And then we have Mickey's Very Merry Christmas tickets.
Oh, you are going to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party. So is the concept of this weird to you as a Disneyland person?
No, you know, I enjoy the Halloween parties at Disneyland. Although we've only done it once, but I just can't wait to see what this is like. And again, we're not going to wait hours in line to meet any characters. Fireworks, yes. Parade, not that night, but another night. So it's going to be trying to enjoy shorter lines. I understand they're not walk-ons because so many people are going to the parties now, and I heard that the 8th already sold out. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that's all of the, you know, bloggers and, mm-hmm. and podcast people hitting it day one, but we're just going to go there and experience it. So
yes, you are correct. That is why it sells out. So are you going to more than one?
Yeah. And you know, here's where I feel like I'm overdoing it. I almost bought Christmas party tickets for our arrival day, but I think, you know, after the flight and just getting settled in, shouldn't push it. So I changed it to later on in the trip.
So your two party dates are which? November 8th and?
No. It is the Tuesday, which is the 12th. And the second party is the Thursday, which is the 14th.
Okay. I might see you on November 12th because I will be the 8th and the 12th. So.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you're not the only one buying tickets to two different parties.
Yeah.
There's so much to do that I know it's crazy to ask people to buy tickets to two parties, especially for a whole family, because you bought six tickets. But for us, it is the only way to get everything done. So
Yeah. And, you know, how often are we here? We're probably not going to go back until, you know, the Mary Poppins ride is in and Tron and all the other ones. So this, you know, might be not until my daughter's a senior in high school. So this is one of those where I have kind of the whole fear of missing out thing happening, mm-hmm. where I just want to make sure that, you know, I have the option to go, but it's not taken away by something being sold out later.
Yes, I totally get that. Yeah. Okay. So two Christmas parties.
Yep. So the first one's Tuesday night and then, Wednesday morning, we have the 1900 Park Fair reserved at 11 o'clock. So give us a little bit of time to sleep in. And then Wednesday will be an Animal Kingdom day. And our first Fast Pass Plus reservation is Expedition Everest at 2:15. Mm-hmm. So if we sleep in and the breakfast doesn't work out, the brunch, then that's fine. We have plenty of time to get to the park. It's our first flight of passage. Fast Pass Plus, and I also reserve Kilimanjaro Safari for 5:30 to try and get it around sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that night I purchased Animal Kingdom After Hours tickets.
Oh man. Okay.
So yeah. Keeping with the theme of, you know, midnight for you guys is 9 o'clock for us. So, you know, let's not adjust to the time change and just be night owls through the whole thing.
Yes. Going from east to west is much easier. I wake up so early and ready for a Disneyland day, but going the opposite is harder. We did both in August, back and forth and back and forth. It is a trick. But also it may still be hot. So if you're out in the evening, then you won't have that issue.
It'd be a bit cooler. Yeah.
So I'm just trying to review. So you have
sure
ultimate Night of Adventures, which is going to give you access to Animal Kingdom, and you have Animal Kingdom After Hours, and you have Fast Passes for some stuff. So definitely lots of opportunities.
Yes. Yeah. Everything's packed. And what's interesting is my daughter, I asked her, what do you have to see on this trip? And she's like, I have to see Rivers of Light. You know, out of all the rides and everything, and I hear people kind of, oh, Rivers of Light could use some improvement. But again, you know, I'm looking at it as well, you know, hey, this is all, everything's new to us. So, you know, if she wants to see Rivers of Light, you know, that's also included in Ultimate Nights of Adventure. So I believe you end up with a premium seating for Rivers of Light, which people say you probably don't really need, but eh, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she'll have plenty of chances to view it for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. What else?
So Thursday, I don't have, that's a Magic Kingdom day, because of the Christmas party. So the first, Fast Pass Plus is at 1:45, and that's, Splash Mountain. That's another must ride for me. I want to see, you know, the two seater version. And then we have Seven Dwarfs, followed by a Skipper Canteen lunch, and then Space Mountain, Fast Passes at like 5:20. And then we have the other Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and I also got Tony's tickets as well.
Oh my gosh. So the 14th is when you're doing the Tony's party.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That is fun. I've never talked to anybody else that went to that.
Yeah, and the, you know, the thinking behind that is that's when we'll see the parade, because we'll have a reserved seating. It'll be the second Christmas party, so it'll be a little bit more relaxed and we can go back and eat. And it also covers another meal cost. That's, you know, with some of the special event tickets, I know they're expensive. We're lucky because we're a family of three, so it's not like I'm spending, you know, five tickets each time. But, you know, I always try to factor in the cost of the meal with some of these special events. And then the annual pass discount, it's doesn't hit you as hard as you think.
Yeah, and I'm just going to tell you that the viewing for that is the best and
that's
worth
what I've been reading.
The price. Like, I went with my daughter last December and she's grown, but she thought it was the most amazing thing in the whole world to be able to go and drink champagne, eat, and then go out and have a front row seat to the parade. Like, it is the word magical gets overused. It is, I think, worth it for that reason.
And we I think it was two trips ago to Disneyland, we did the Riverbell Terrace preferred viewing for Fantasmic in Disneyland. And that was like our experience of just, wow, this is great, because you don't have to sit on the floor to view Fantasmic. You're eating your meal, and we got seats right on the railing, which is kind of hard to do for that special ticketed event. So it's those moments that I always try to, you know, grab during our trips. And I think this is definitely going to be one of them.
Yeah. I mean, you have lots of opportunities, but I think this is going to be one of those. Okay. Animal Kingdom After Hours was the last thing that you mentioned.
Right. So that was Animal Kingdom After Hours. Then Thursday is Magic Kingdom with the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party with Tony's. Mm-hmm. And then Friday is an Epcot day. And I don't have, you know, any fast. Again, later on in the afternoon, 1:30 for Frozen Ever After. And then we have Spaceship Earth and then Living with the Land. And then the beer garden at 6 o'clock. And I was kind of kicking around the Living with the Land tour because the walking tour, but I'll play it by ear and see what, you know, my wife and daughter want to do, because I think they're just absolutely going to love Living with the Land. They're both really big into gardening. So,
yeah. So the behind the scenes tour is what you're talking about. And as soon as you exit is the sign up desk for it. So, and there's
you sign up there,
and it's usually pretty easy to get in. So you can make a decision then, and it's, doesn't cost a lot, doesn't take very long.
Perfect.
So that might work out.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that before the beer garden reservation, because we have a little over an hour and a half, I think. So
yeah, you'll have to see if they have any openings.
Yeah that, and again, there's that fear of missing out. Now I'm probably gonna go check online and start looking. I don't know.
You'll have to let us know what you end up doing.
Yeah.
What else?
So the last day is Saturday, and that's another Magic Kingdom day. And I scheduled the Fast Pass Pluses for the afternoon. So the, you know, Seven Dwarves at about 12, and then Peter Pan at 1, and then Big Thunder after that with the Liberty Tree dinner at 5 o'clock. So I'm going to, you know, hopefully that day we'll get in early enough where we can hit some rides, because the Friday at Epcot's not going to be a super late night, and maybe we'll be adjusted by then. And then I I really want to try the grabbing extra fast passes through the refresh method, because that's just, I'm used to that with the max pass, just, you know, messing with the times and trying to score. You know, it's almost like a video game while you're in the park, mm-hmm. this, you know, constantly trying to get that upgrade. So it's our last day. And you know, I think that's a good day to stay, you know, at Magic Kingdom. I'm a little concerned that we're only technically doing a half day at Hollywood Studios, but we'll see how it goes, because I think we have flexibility in the schedule where we can sneak back to places.
If you have time, I would encourage you to try it, because Hollywood Studios yeah. is my personal favorite park during the holidays, and they've already started putting up holiday decorations there.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, there's so much to cram in. Mm-hmm. I tried. We didn't want to take my daughter, you know, too much out of school. She's missing 5 days total. I thought if I just had one or two extra days, we could do a break in the middle. And I have no idea if we're going to make it to Disney Springs at all. That would have been nice. But, you know, we'll see. I have a pretty packed schedule. So we'll,
you do. It's very we'll hard. Yeah. But it's nice to have in the back of your mind, if you have an empty, you know, few hours, okay, I could go to Disney Springs. We could go to Hollywood right. Studios. Like there's some good options there if you yeah. have any openings.
Yep.
All right. Well, we have talked about a lot. Is there anything we haven't yeah. mentioned yet?
Oh no, that's it. Just, it was a lot of planning and a lot of rescheduling, and it's been weird. The last month, it's been kind of calm. After I made all the FastPass Plus reservations, it's like, I have nothing to work on. This is really strange. So it's just kind of relaxing and just, you know, preparing for the trip.
Yeah, it's one of the questions we get a lot is, what should I be doing? Like, I've already yeah. done so much. Now what? Yep. Because people get yep. anxious, like they're supposed to be doing something else.
And I you know, idle minds with myself, it's kind of a dangerous thing. Then I start looking at other things and saying, well, maybe I should tweak this. And weird thoughts get into my head, like, well, maybe we should be at a different hotel. And, you know, I was able to secure a preferred room at Riverside. Mm-hmm. And even that caused a few, you know, I have this whole booking story and flight story, but the Riverside preferred room, I couldn't get one, and I wanted to, because it's more cost for a closer building. And then one morning I wake up and check on my iPad and it's there, and I just reserve it. So at one point I had two Riverside reservations, and, you know, canceling tickets because one included tickets and the other one didn't when I made the reservation. You know, they're all really, really helpful when you call rescheduling things. But, you know, it's just been it's worked out to where I've absolutely, I think I nailed it in terms of my planning.
Good. I love that confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see how long it lasts.
That's why we do these before and after reports, to see how yep. they match up. So, yep. All right, Stephen. Well, it's been great. And I will talk to you in a couple of weeks to hear how it all went.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome back from your trip, Stephen.
Oh, thank you. Lots of fun.
Lots of fun. So you and I are talking on Tuesday, November 19th, right? Yep. So you've been back for a little bit. How did your long and event-packed trip go?
Oh, it went beautifully. There was only two things that I scheduled that we weren't able to make. But overall, it was a great trip. We got every version of Florida weather, I think, other than a hurricane. So that was really interesting. But we had a ton of fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask you some kind of general questions like that. So this time of year, how did you feel about the crowds and the weather?
So the crowds, you know, we ran into a few bottlenecks and it did feel crowded. But the, you know, definitely the tours helped mitigate some of that. And the weather was just interesting. There was one day where it was, I think, 85 degrees and just not pleasant. In particular, waiting in line at a Big Thunder, when you go down the ramp, it's like that unair-conditioned tunnel of doom. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had it was raining when we got there on Friday night. It was mm-hmm. just pouring cats and dogs. And then the last day, full day that we were there on Saturday, it was like 62 and windy. So, you know, we just got the gambit of everything, but we enjoyed it nonetheless. I was actually really surprised at how green everything is. In Orlando, you know, when you look at a map of Disney World and see all the roads, you think it's just plain freeways, kind of like LA, but, you know, we would see deer and wildlife in the buses. So that was kind of a neat little treat.
Yeah. And you and I had trips that overlapped a little bit. And
yeah.
I left on the 12th, and that was only 4 days into your trip. And I don't normally have trouble leaving, and this time I did because it was gorgeous, gorgeous weather.
Yeah, and I have to admit, on Sunday I was ready to go. I was a little worried about, you know, not having enough time, but we got so much done, and it was just to the point where it was like, okay, I think, you know, it's a good time to go.
Yeah, well, you had a long trip with lots of stuff going on, so that makes sense. You also mentioned to us on the pre-trip that you are normally Disneyland people. So do you have any kind of overall thoughts about Disneyland versus Disney World?
Now, you know, I can't say I'm one of these people that's saying one is definitely better than the other. It's like saying, you know, who do you love more, your mother or your father? It's like you love them both equally, but in different ways, if that's a good way of putting it. I think Disney World is probably going to be a once every 5 year or so trip, maybe a little bit longer, because they just offer different things, you know. So it was very interesting seeing the differences between some of the rides and just the park variety. It was really cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like it's inevitable that you're going to compare, especially because there's some right. similarities in a lot of things. But we don't have to choose.
Right.
We can do both.
I'm sure Disney loves that.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, yeah. All of our spare coins go right in their pocket. Okay, so let's start to get into your trip a little bit more. You mentioned to us beforehand that a lot of the details were unknown to your wife and child. So how did you start to kind of reveal those? Did it begin at the resort?
Yeah, it began when we were actually doing things. So, you know, the first thing that I had planned was a carriage ride around Port Orleans, Riverside to French Quarter and back. But we were a little delayed. The flight was delayed by 20 minutes and we landed a little bit later than expected. So we were in Orlando in the airport standing in Magical Express at about 6:45 and our carriage ride was scheduled for 9, which I thought, OK, that's not a problem. But then I actually got a call from the ranch saying, hey, do you still want your ride? And I thought that was kind of, you know, a little strange, but it might have been because of the weather because it was pouring so hard.
It was.
And I told them we're delayed and we might not make it. And they said, OK, just call back, let us know and we'll cancel it and refund you the money. And sure enough, it took about an hour and a half with Magical Express, a little bit longer. It took us a little while to leave the airport, and then we were the fourth stop dropping off. So, and I was fine with that, and I just called them while we were on the bus and said, hey, it looks like, you know, we're going to be in late. And they said, no problem. They just canceled it. So, you know, we just watched a little bit of Yeehaw Bob and ate dinner at the hotel and call it a night.
But the resort itself, was that known to your family?
Nope.
Okay, so
what
they think?
Yes. Oh, absolutely loved it. It's such a nice resort. Again, you know, I was trying to find something that matched our favorite area of Disneyland, which is the New Orleans area. It's just beautiful with the river. And I requested a particular room number. So I looked up all the rooms online and wanted something with a river view. And I gave, you know, I sent in a fax to the resort and about 5 days before, and they gave me the second room on the list, which was just perfect. So we had a second story corner room with two windows overlooking the river and the big water wheel of the main building. So it was, I have a great picture of it that I'll be sure to send you.
Yes, I would love to see that. So you were obviously in a preferred room and that allowed you to be closer, and then you just got more specific and requested a certain room.
And lucked out.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. And okay, so you're starting off rainy and a bit delayed, but the resort is a hit.
Oh, it was a hit. And also we showed up at night, so it was dark. So the next morning it was really cool to wake up and then come out to the resort in the light and kind of see everything in detail. So that was a lot of fun.
All right. So let's start talking about park days. What was your first park day Saturday?
Yeah, day one, and I tracked how many miles we did for each park, and we were over 10. We averaged about 10 miles each day of walking, so that was quite a lot. And the first day was Animal Kingdom, and that was our on Saturday, and we had the Ultimate Nights of Adventure tour that night.
Mm-hmm. And your plan, you told us before, was to not put too much pressure on the mornings and start kind of later in the day. So is that what you did on this first day?
Yep. I think we entered, and we did that pretty much every day. We entered the park at around 11 and we rode Dinosaur right away. and then had fast passes for Dinosaur, Everest, where we were able to see Festival of the Lion King, and then we had Navi River fast passes before the tour.
Okay.
So that worked out perfectly fine.
And I was also there that day, and the weather was amazing, which I'm only mentioning again because Animal Kingdom is so much more enjoyable when the weather's nice.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yes. Yeah. And you had it, and the Christmas decorations were up?
Yeah, and you know, Christmas decorations everywhere, but we don't really have anything to compare it to since everything was so new. It was like, that's our normal, if that makes any sense.
Now you're spoiled.
We're spoiled, but they had the puppets out and were, you know, really that it was just, it's a very neat park. We had an absolute blast, a little bit nervous about riding Everest, but once we were on it, my daughter absolutely loved it. And later on in the trip, we were able to do it 10 times in one day. So that was
absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
We ate at Setuli because we were in the area, and I didn't know that on the Ultimate Nights tour, they stop off for a meal at Setuli. So we got to eat there twice in one day, which was fine. But, you know, love Navi River. And, you know, I know that ride sometimes gets panned, but, and at first when we rode it, it was like, you know, this is okay. What's the point? There's that animatronic at the end. But then I started to think of it as like the modern version of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. You know, it's like all centered around that one animatronic. And it was like, yeah, you know, you kind of relaxed and watched, you know, some of the projections and got to that one animatronic. And it's like really cool. So
for those that are listening that don't know what that is, it's an attraction at Disneyland, which was one of the originals for the park. And if you have Disney Plus and you're watching the Imagineering series, they talk about it in the first episode.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, full circle with them, with their advanced animatronics. And this is the most, you know, advanced. And when you look at it from that light, it's like, okay, now I kind of get it. It's not, you know, supposed to be this full featured, you know, e-ticket ride. It's just this relaxing river journey with a totally advanced animatronic at the end.
Yeah. And I think sort of seeing the history, like where they started with Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln, that was like one of their first animatronics. Yep. And now this Navi River animatronic, as you mentioned, is so amazing. If for no other reason, you know, try to see that.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Really, really gorgeous. Fluid movements, gorgeous. It's amazing how far they've come.
You kind of wish you get stuck right in front of it so you could see it, because, you know, we rode it multiple times throughout the trip, and it does do different things at different points. So it is worth seeing it. I don't know if I'd ever wait over an hour in line for that,
or
30 minutes even, but we had the opportunity to ride it, you know, twice in that one day, because we did do the Ultimate Nights tour.
Yes.
And that was totally worth it. Again, my wife and daughter knew nothing of it. We just walked up to the area and they're, you know, offering us waters and here's your lanyards, and asked us what we wanted to eat for dinner, you know, if there was any preferences. They served us at Setuli the family style, so they sat us with other people in the tour. Mm-hmm. The tour was around 23 people, and it just so happened that they paired us at a table with a couple and their daughter from Ireland, and my daughter is obsessed with Ireland, and it was great to have, you know, that happened with, you know, somebody who's around her age. So they just kind of hung out the entire tour, which was great.
Well, that was a nice coincidence then.
Yeah.
So what did you do on the tour?
So it started out, they took us through the safari, which we absolutely loved. And then after the safari, and this is through the fast pass line for everything. They took us on Navi River and then Flight of Passage, which that's another ride where I did not view any, you know, videos online, any spoilers. We were absolutely blown away by that ride. It is just simply amazing. After Flight of Passage was our dinner at Setuli. They took us through on Dinosaur again. Well, not again, but that was our second time that day. And then to Everest. And then after Everest, we had preferred seatings for Rivers of Light. And it was nice because there's a tour guide in front and in back of the group to kind of keep everybody together. And we had two, you know, just awesome tour guides, Laura and Annie, that they can answer, you know, any questions, Disney trivia, just kind of chat with you as you're walking through the park. So it's a pleasant experience walking, you know, with knowledgeable tour guides.
Yes, totally agree. And I think those are kind of coveted positions, so they tend to be really great cast members.
Yeah, it was awesome. So that was the full day, you know, that first day ending with Rivers of Light. And then we just went back to the hotel after that, after the show. That was the one thing that my daughter really wanted to see, the one water show. So we went to go see that. Yeah, I was you know, it was kind of average for me. I kept expecting that flower at the end to do a little bit something more, but I think they just need to add. It seemed like it was the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's pretty, but if you have other things to do, I can totally see skipping out on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so good first day. You got most of Animal Kingdom done, but I know you have more Animal Kingdom time planned. So then what was your Sunday, your second park day like?
So the second day was Epcot, and we started out a little bit later again, you know, because of the time zone change and just not wanting to rush it. But, you know, we had went in straight to Spaceship Earth, did Mission Space, Grand Fiesta, and then kind of walked around the World Showcase area. And we just desperately needed something to eat. So we stopped off in England and got just the awesome fish and chips there. So that was excellent. And then after that, we had Test Track Fast Passes. And I got to say, we really loved riding Test Track. And that's one of those things where if you were to compare it between Disneyland with Cars and Test Track, it's kind of hard to compare. But I would probably give the nod to Cars over Test Track. It felt like I was in a big Chevy commercial, you know, but it's still, you know, it was a fun ride. And I think, man, if they just rethemed that to a Tron ride, you know, with the car from the new Tron movie, that would have been awesome. But still, I'm not complaining. It was a fun ride.
I'm just going to say the reason that you're comparing it is that the ride vehicles are the same.
They're the same, but not the same track.
Right,
but,
totally,
you know,
different
cars,
track, different cars. And I mean, if you're comparing them, Radiator Springs Racers wins every time. It's a great attraction.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's just awesome. But my wife and daughter loved it so much. Our next Epcot day, I had Frozen Fast Passes, and I switched it over to Test Track to make sure that we got on that. But then I regretted doing that later because I'm like, you know, we need to at least ride Frozen once. And I had to do some refreshing to kind of make that work later on. So I can get to that when we get to the other day. But we also, Living with the Land was a hit with my family. Because, you know, into gardening, and it was just, you know, awesome to go through that. Later on, we did the Behind the Seeds tour, which I think was my wife's favorite of the entire tour.
So, hold on. I believe you told us you might do it. Yeah, I wrote down maybe Behind the Seeds. So you did decide to do it.
Yes.
Did you book it just, you just walked up and booked it while you were there?
Just walked up and booked it while we were there, used the annual pass, got a discount on it. And, you know, it was one of those things where after she went through it and I said, you know, they do a hour tour of walking through the greenhouse, and I got that look. So I'm like, okay, yep, got to figure that one out.
Well,
so
that was a hit.
That was a definite hit. Yeah.
I love that. I love that you were able to ride it and be like, you want to go tour it?
Yep. But that day was, we cut it a little short. We left at about 3 o'clock because we had Hoop-Dee-Doo review reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was over, you know, all the way over in the Fort Wilderness area. So we took our first minivan over there, which was just a great experience. You know, the driver was awesome. And as we're driving over there, you know, my daughter, I mentioned to my daughter, well, we might have time to go swimming in the hotel tonight after Hoop-Dee-Doo review because she wanted to try the pool. And the driver, you know, she told me that she forgot her swimsuit. So the driver offered to take us to a gift shop on the way there and wait in the car while we went in to look for a swimsuit. So that was really cool. But she didn't find what she liked. And they said, well, they have something over at the Contemporary. So we had enough time before the show, so I thought, to go over to the Contemporary via one of the boats and buy the swimsuit. Long story short, we made it over there. We got her the swimsuit, got back to the dock. And for some reason it took about a half an hour to get the next boat there. And we were just able to make Hoop-Dee-Doo in time, but it was just kind of strange where they were, you know, the delay, there was like no reason behind it. Cause we were told it was every 10 minutes, but it was great. Beautiful day. That lake is awesome. I'm glad we made that trip over.
Yeah, just happened to work out that way. After you took the minivan.
Yep. Yeah, after you took the minivan, then, you know, we got delayed there. But Hoop-Dee-Doo review, absolutely awesome time. We all overate. It was one of those things where it's like, there's no way we're going into a park after, you know, when somebody offers you another bucket of chicken, you know, or ribs, it's like, it's very hard to turn that down. And they were walking around with, you know, hey, here's a fresh loaf of cornbread, it's like, oh, you guys are killing me. Show was awesome. Food was awesome. I can see us doing that every time we go.
Well, good. That's an endorsement. People are new to minivans, one of the perks of minivans is they can go a couple places that cars can't. And one of them is the area where Hoop Dee Doo is held at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. And, you know, they dropped us right off at the bus stop and we tried to get a minivan on the ride back, but it just wouldn't pair us with a driver. And we later, you know, talked to some of the minivan drivers about it and they said, yeah, they're probably adding new vehicles because it's such high demand. So we took a regular Lyft back and they picked us up in one of the camping loops. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, that must not be too fun for the people that are staying in those camping loops if Lyft is telling them to drop them off at that location, you know, but.
Yes. Yeah, that happens.
So, yeah, that was our day. And we turned in early because the next day was the ultimate day of thrills.
Okay. Ultimate day of thrills. Another tour. All right.
Another tour.
Where did that one start?
It starts off at Magic Kingdom at 8:30 and they tell you to make sure you are there by 8:15.
How did you get
there? We took another minivan just in case, which, you know, was a little bit overkill because we probably could have taken the bus and that was fine. But we took the minivan and we checked in on the left-hand side where they let people with reservations in a little early and then walked over to the Liberty Square area. And we were so early that the tour guides weren't there yet. But one of the cast members just kind of, she said, no, just hang out in this general area. And, you know, you'll be fine. So we kind of had Liberty Square to ourselves for a good 15 to 20 minutes. You know, got great picture castle underneath the, you know, chicken and waffle sign because I love chicken and waffles. So had to get that family picture. So that was kind of fun just hanging out in an area without anybody being there for a while.
Yeah.
So the tour started right at 8:30, right when the... Well, you check in and then you have to wait until rope drop and then they start the tour at 9. The first ride that we hit was Big Thunder. And, you know, it's a little bit of a toss up between the Disneyland version and the Disney World. I think I like the Disneyland version just a little bit better because of the explosions at the end. You know, comparing the two is a little hard, but they were supposed to take us on Splash Mountain, but it was down. So they took us on Pirates instead. And that was the only trip that we rode on Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World because we really did not like it.
If you're going to compare Disneyland wins that one too. This is really a commercial for Disneyland, I think.
No. I have two rides coming up that we were like, hands down, this is the far better version. But Pirates, you know, you take out the drops, you take out, you know, half the scenes. It was like, we just don't need to do it again. And we were fine. From Pirates, they took us to Seven Dwarfs, which, again, we absolutely loved. Figured out that we can rock the cars back and forth, and then the ride stopped, and we thought, oh, no, did we break the ride? But they were telling us, no, that's okay. It just kind of stopped. We were supposed to go to Haunted, but Haunted was down as well. And then after that, they took us to Space Mountain, Buzz Lightyear, and then behind the scenes in a van to Epcot.
And you caught the van probably over by Buzz or so, right?
It was over just past the area where they have the Tomorrowland viewing for the fireworks, the dessert party.
Oh, okay.
So it's the same area where people check in for the Christmas party, they were telling us.
Okay.
Like they open up. So yeah, they, you know, and again, we had two great, it was the same setup as the Ultimate Night of Thrills. We had Zan and Kyler. They were awesome answering questions, kind of keeping us entertained as we walked along. The van went straight to Epcot and they drove us behind the scenes again, in Epcot. So we drove behind the, World Showcase and then they, took us to this, you know, nondescript door and opened it up. And suddenly we're at Sunshine Seasons for lunch. So lunch was basically whatever you wanted from, Sunshine. They, for some reason, they took a picture of it and you got to sit down and eat. And as soon as we were done eating, it was Soaring. And that was good.
I was picturing that. I'm like, okay, you're in the same building as Soaring. That's probably next. You're also right next to Living with the Land, which is a new favorite.
Yep.
you have plenty of time in this building.
Yeah. They didn't take us on Living with the Land. It was just Soaring. And then after Soaring, it was back in the vans. And then they took us to Hollywood Studios. And again, you know, backstage driving with Hollywood Studios. And then they opened up the door. We were right there and rode Rock and Roller Coaster.
Little weird that Soarin's the only thing that is Epcot.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the walking distance to anything else. And, you know, that just doesn't fit. I heard, you know, previous tours used to eat at Hollywood at the Brown Derby, I think it was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't complain. It was great food. And you know, we love Soaring. And you are right. The end, I have to say, Disney World's version is better. Because the end, it's bigger, more fireworks. And it's, you know, over Epcot. So that was really cool. But at Hollywood Studios, Rock and Roller Coaster, that was another one that, you know, we were all kind of a little nervous because it was a new ride. Absolutely loved it afterwards. That's an awesome roller coaster. I could ride that one for days.
Yeah, certainly unique to Disney World.
Yep. They took us on Star Tours after that. And then we walked through Galaxy's Edge to Toy Story. And there were a few of us that didn't really want to experience Galaxy's Edge yet, you know, because I was like, we're going to save that for California. It's the same thing. You know, I want to be surprised, you know, and not waste any time. So a couple of us on the tour were actually kind of holding our heads down not to see everything, you know, to leave the surprise. But that changed later in the trip. Took us to Midway Mania. So that was fun. And then on Slinky Dog. And I was pleasantly surprised by Slinky Dog. That is one fun roller coaster.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
I think it surprises a lot of people because it seems like a kiddie thing. And you get on it, you're like, no, that's more fun than I expected.
Yeah. What we call the whoop-de-doos, the you know, the hills three in a row. That was really fun. And then the last ride, what they did is they had us on Tower of Terror. They took us through Tower of Terror. And our trip, that ride, the doors were open and there was no sound effects on the scene as you move through.
Oh my gosh.
So it was a little strange, but we made our own sound effects. We did our Albert Einstein, you know, voices with E equals MC squared and all that. So everybody was laughing. But after that, the tour was basically over. And, you know, we had, I set up a couple other fast passes for that day. You know, we had a fast pass for Rock and Roller Coaster. So we rode that again. Which was really fun. And then we did Indiana Jones. That was one of our to-do lists to make sure to see Indiana Jones. And we watched that show. And then we were just burnt out. It was, okay, I'm calling it. It was about 6 o'clock and we had reservations for the sci-fi drive-in for dinner at like 7:45. And I thought, you know, it's crowded. We're tired. It's really hot. Let's just, you know, cancel that reservation and go back to the hotel for dinner. And that's what we did.
Did you cancel it or did you reschedule it and cancel it?
No, I tried to schedule it down and it wouldn't do it, you know, so we could just eat and go. But I just canceled. I called, and, you know, my experience canceling dining reservations, sometimes you tell them, you know, hey, we're just burnt out or somebody's not feeling good and they waive the cancellation fee. But I think I haven't checked, but I believe they charged us the fee. So that was just one where it was like, it's not worth pushing it. Everybody's tired. And, you know, the next day we had the Christmas party. So after dinner at the hotel, I slept for 11 hours that night. Mm. So I was out. You know, we were done.
You clearly needed the rest.
Yeah. And we all did. And, you know, in particular with the Christmas party the next day. So day four was Magic Kingdom. And that was our highest day for walking. We averaged almost 13 miles that day.
Wow. And this is a good reminder for people that have little kids. Even if you don't use a stroller at home, if they can't walk 13 miles, you might want to pick up a stroller for them.
Yeah. And my daughter's 11. And, you know, I think my wife and I were more affected by the walking. She did just fine. You know, after about, you know, 10 miles, my knee starts popping and all the things start breaking down. So, you know, by the end of the night, I'm hobbling a little bit, but I'm like, darn it, I'm going to push through. But, you know, it was totally worth it for the Christmas party. I did make a mistake though. You know, after we had breakfast at the hotel, we're like, hey, let's just try these Surrey bikes. They have the two-seater and four-seater Surrey bikes around the hotel. I'm like, oh, how hard can it be? Well, yeah, pedaling one of those things up a hill, I have to admit, my daughter did a lot of the pedaling. I was teasing her most of the trip that I did all the pedaling, but, you know, if she listens to this, she's going to find out that I kind of slacked off a little bit. But, you know, doing the Surrey bike and then heading straight for Magic Kingdom for 12 miles might have been a mistake, but we still had a blast.
So your only park that day was during the Christmas party?
Yes, it was Magic Kingdom, but we showed up at 11:30. So we ate breakfast, did the Surrey bike, and we're at Magic Kingdom by 11:30.
Okay, so you had several hours before the Christmas party. I got it.
Yeah. I just had to go in there. And what was great about the tour, although we were being led through the park, I was able to get my bearings as to where everything was. You know, I was kind of noting, okay, here's how you get to this ride, here's how you get to that ride. So the first free day at Magic Kingdom without the tour, we headed straight to Country Bears because I haven't seen it since I was a kid. So nostalgia factor through the roof for me. My wife and daughter, who've never seen it before, were like, really? You know, they're like, this is it was a one and done for them.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm like, it's Big Al. It's Blood on the Saddle. It's like, come on. What can't you love about that? But it's just the nostalgia factor is not there for them. So
that's right. They don't have that connection to it.
Yeah. So we rode a few rides in the morning. Under the Sea, Ariel, that we love the queue. That version is far better than the California version. We walked through it just to see those little blue crabs doing, you know, all the things that they were doing. So that's the first one that we're like, man, we wish we had this version out here.
Yeah, the actual ride is the same, but the queue, you don't have any kind of queue in California.
No, none whatsoever. It's a former, you know, theater. Well, they demolished the theater that had the Whoopi Goldberg show in it or whatever, but it's very bland in California. But, you know, the queues kind of do set up the ride, and it was really cool. That day we had Be Our Guest for lunch scheduled, and, you know, we ate in the master's bedroom, so that was really fun. Everybody loved that meal.
You said you had it for lunch. Did you pre-order?
Yeah. Pre-ordered. Yep.
And they had a pre-order line, like they let you do a separate line?
Separate pre-order line. They were all really awesome. Got checked in relatively quick, sat down, and there was the food. It was really cool.
Good. There's been a bit of debate online about if they were doing pre-order lines. I think when it's busier, they definitely do that.
Yeah. Yep. And one of the rides that I was kind of concerned about not getting a fast pass for was Haunted Mansion, because I wanted to see the differences between the two. And, you know, it said showed 20 minutes. And this was kind of a theme through the trip. Sometimes it would show 20 minutes or 25 minutes. We walked right on, essentially. So I don't know where some of those times are coming from. One of the cast members said it's more of a crowd management tool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's necessarily true, where they'll leave, in particular, like Flight of Passage. If it's showing 2 hours at the end of the day, they'll leave it with 2 hours, you know, towards the end of the park. So they kind of clear out the queue. But Haunted, you know, it's another one of those where it's like the staircase scene was really cool and some of the extra features, but I don't know, I kind of like the California version better, in particular when it does the overlay. So it's just that one's kind of hard to compare the two.
Yes. I like walking into the one in California more. It feels like I'm really walking into a house, but the Florida one does have that extra room with the staircases.
Has so, extra room.
You know.
And the next ride that we did that is, I put it in the way better than the California version, was Splash Mountain.
Why do you like it better?
Absolutely loved it. It wasn't, you know, the queues are pretty similar, but the first factor was the seating side by side with the lap bar. My wife doesn't like the non-restrained single row log version, but there's just more scenes. You know, some of the animatronics weren't working. I knew that from, just previous, that was the only one where I saw a few video clips about it, but, just a longer ride. You know, you don't get as wet if that darn cannon doesn't hit you. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple days where it was off and we're like, yes, we'll go in and ride it. But there, the first time we rode it, we were kind of, it hit my wife and daughter full on, so they got absolutely drenched. But I just love that ride in general, and the extra scenes really far and away better than the Disneyland version.
Before we move forward, I have a general kind of question about you. So this kind of late start pattern that you have, did as much of a planner as you are, did it make you nervous before your trip that not being there at Rope Drop would be a problem?
Very nervous. And we're rope droppers in Disneyland. So every morning that we get there, because we know, and with Max Pass and Rope Drop combined, it's just awesome because you're constantly pulling passes and you're getting so much done, and then you can go back to the hotel for rest. So this made me really nervous getting there that late. But, you know, I counted up, I had time on the plane, counted my notes. We were able to get 115 rides with a few attractions thrown into that count, done in the 8-day period. So that's around, you know, it's a little over 14 a day. So, you know, at the end I was like, I felt like I did everything, and we did it multiple times and it was cool.
Yeah. The reason I ask is that, we definitely, like, our touring plans that we've written are based on rope dropping. We are big proponents. I still think it's like your best bet for avoiding lines and stuff. But one thing that we're trying to get better at is having different ideas for how to tour.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm really fascinated by this, to see kind of how it works out for you. I think one of the benefits of FastPass Plus is that you can book it ahead of time. So even if you're not there, like in Disneyland, even though Max Pass is there, you still have to be in the park. So, you know, you have to, as soon as you go in, then you can make your FastPass. So it still is a rope drop kind of setup.
Right.
In Florida, I do think that's a benefit to FastPass Plus, is that you can, you know, you can show up later and still have fast passes.
Right. And you know, but from a perspective of getting in a lot of rides, I did prefer Max Pass, that system, because, you know, I did the refresh method later on in the trip to get additional fast passes. And I found myself, you know, kind of staring at the phone for like 15 minutes straight, constantly hitting refresh. And I was successful. The last night we were able to get between like 8:15 and 8:45, we got two fast passes for Rock and Roller Coaster. Mm-hmm. So I was able to actually score those, and that was great. But then I'm like, I'm staring down at my phone constantly, you know, going back and forth. So yeah, I like the, you know, the assurity that you're going to ride these rides when you have this fast pass. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. It kind of, I think it's a draw between the two systems. But overall, Magic Bands, absolutely love them. Wish we had them out in Disneyland, you know, because just keeping the fast pass on the Magic Band and not having to pull out your phone or your ticket to scan things, tons, way better.
Yeah, that is nice. It feels it's a little disorienting to leave Disney World and realize your bracelet isn't going to get you into anything.
Everything, like scan your plane tickets and all that.
So, yes, plane tickets, pay for your food, like all of that.
Yep.
Okay, so going back to your plans, you did have the Christmas party at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and prior to the Christmas party, we did have, just had to mention the Peter Pan Fast Passes, and that version, far better than Disneyland's version. Mm-hmm. Far and away, more scenes, bigger, you know, the pirate ship, you go over one scene, they're fighting, you turn around and they're all knocked out. The queue, even though we had fast passes, we went through the queue later on. That was just blew us away. So absolutely love Peter Pan. We got our bands at about 4 o'clock and then waited for the party to start and just got an absolute ton of stuff done at the party. Don't think I could go through everything, but it was that night on Tuesday night, I think Seven Dwarves got down to about 15 minutes at one point. So that was pretty good for the party, because the Thursday night party, it was always hovering around 30 and 35 minutes.
Yeah. So what were your main focuses at the party that you were able to get done?
Oh, boy. Ate a lot of cookies. So that was really fun. We just, you know, we hit everything in a circle around the park. Our main focus, didn't really need to meet any characters. You know, we weren't really interested in the parade, the fireworks, you know, and we could see the projections on the castle. That was fine, but we didn't, you know, weren't really into getting that perfect spot for the fireworks. So that party night, it was all about rides, just as many as we can get on, with as little weight. So, you know, Jungle Cruise, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder, Pooh, Barnstormer, Autotopia, or whatever they call it there, Space Mountain, three times, I think, People Mover, which was great. Seven Dwarves a couple times, and
And a few of these had overlays, which may make you laugh as a Disneyland person, because the overlays at Disneyland are so much different.
Yeah. Well, we thought the Speedway overlay was really cool, and yes. That's what caused us to ride it, because we were just like, okay, you know, the Autotopia in Disneyland goes, you know, rivers and underneath the monorail, but the overlay, we're like, okay, we got to try it. And we liked it. I mean, it wasn't bad, and the Space Mountain overlay was great because you can actually see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun. It helped make the ride a little bit easier because you can see the turns coming up. Mm-hmm. And later on in the trip, we just didn't ride Space as much because it felt kind of rough. So,
well, and since we are comparing to Disneyland, the Disneyland version is so much smoother.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, different ride track layout. Well, I guess different ride track layout, but also the different vehicles make the difference with the speakers right by your head.
Yes.
When they do an overlay in Disneyland, it's just, it really makes a lot of difference. The other ride that we did a couple times was the Winnie the Pooh ride. Again, far better than the Disneyland version. The house scene where it's moving back and forth, just, you know, the little added extras just made it that much better, and the queue. So,
yes. All right. So this was a ride night and you got lots of rides done. So mission accomplished there, right?
Yeah. And we were about to hit, Splash and, Thunder again, because there were 5 minute waits, but we got stopped by the parade. And that's one of those rookie mistakes that I wouldn't have made at Disneyland, because I know parade routes and times, and it's like, you better be on this side of the park at this time or else you're not getting there. So we were going to get in a couple more, but we were on the wrong side of the parade, and we're like, you know what, we'll just turn in for the night.
Yeah, it's okay to not know everything.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, ugh, you know, I kind of have to sort of know everything that's going on.
Yeah, well, now you know. You learned.
Yep.
And yeah, I know exactly. You have another Christmas party, so you have another chance to put your knowledge to use. Okay, so that was the end of your Monday, right?
Day four.
Your third park day.
Yep.
All right, so then Tuesday, I'm going to assume that you slept in a little bit, maybe.
Slept in a little bit, and that was also our 11 o'clock breakfast at 1900 Park Fair for the Supercalifragilistic, the character meet and greet. So that was really cool.
How did you get there? Okay, yes, minivan.
Yeah, minivan, because it was from one resort to another. So that was super convenient. And we just happened to get there when they were doing the ribbon cutting for the gingerbread house.
In the lobby of the Grand Floridian. Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. So that was awesome. Breakfast was great. But, I made another rookie mistake. I was trying to wake myself up, drank too much coffee. I'm not really used to that much, and kind of loaded up on the carbs, and it came back to bite me later on in Animal Kingdom. So we ate breakfast there, and then we went directly from breakfast to Animal Kingdom, and that was our the nighttime party at Animal Kingdom.
The after hours?
Yes. So we did the after hours. So we entered Animal Kingdom at 1:30, did Everest on fast passes. It was a 30-minute wait, did it again, Flight of Passage fast passes. And then after Flight of Passage, I was like, I had a major, again, another rookie mistake. I didn't eat enough. I had some major blood sugar issues, and I was like, oh boy, I am not feeling good. It was like one of those times on a trip where you're just like, you know, I'm thinking we're going to miss the night party. I need to go back to the hotel and rest. But luckily, we didn't have reservations, but we walked in for Yak and Yeti. And that's just an awesome restaurant. And I got a good meal after that, you know, sat on safari and then, kind of let it process. And within about an hour, hour and a half, I was back on my feet. So was really bummed thinking that, oh no, I'm going to have to, you know, get my daughter and wife back to the hotel, but you know, worked out for the best. So
yeah,
gotta take care of yourself.
you definitely do. So you're saying, cause you did have breakfast. It's not like you skipped breakfast. So you're saying it was like too much caffeine and too many carbs and
carbs.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were kind of spiking and then plummeting or whatever with your blood sugar.
Yep. Ate breakfast at 11 and then didn't have another meal till about 4 and no snacks in between. So I kind of pushed it that day. So paid the price, but stuck it out. My wife and daughter rode Everest. After the safari, I still wasn't feeling too great. And I'm like, okay, we'll go on Everest because the wait wasn't that bad. And then afterwards, I'm like, nope, that was a mistake. So I sat out, you know, in front of Everest while they rode it two more times. So that was already five times that day for Everest.
That's intense. That makes me nauseous, and it's one of my favorite rides.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was great. You know, we were able to go see, you know, Tough to Be a Bug, which is gone from Disneyland, and my daughter didn't remember it, so that was really cool. And we did a little bit of, you know, shopping and then waited for the, you know, for the nighttime event to happen.
Yeah, which is kind of a late start. So this is a little bit of a long day in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
But you got to do some daytime things before it got dark. So
yep.
What did you think of, how did Animal Kingdom After Hours go?
Oh, that again, another awesome party. I think it was second only to the first Christmas party night in terms of the wait time for rides and being able to get things done. They didn't really start some of the events until it was like an hour after the park closing. So, you know, one of the things that we wanted to ride was Triceratops Spin. You know, it's we'll try anything. And it wasn't up, but they brought it up for the party. So we waited until they did that. Or not Triceratops Spin, I'm sorry, Primeval World.
Right, it's been kind of intermittently open.
Yeah, yeah, and they say they only open it for very busy park days and special events. So we rode Triceratops Spin three times waiting for Primeval World to happen. They just let us stay on that thing over and over. We didn't really have any interest in riding Dinosaur again. I think twice was enough for us, and comparing that to Indiana Jones, just because it's the same ride vehicles, it's like, if they would have opened up the scenes a little bit more and done a few more things, it would have been really cool. But, you know, twice was enough. But after Triceratops Spin three times, we did Primeval World four times in a row. So that was a lot of fun. And actually figured out that if you put two adults on one side and leave two seats open, or, you know, myself and my daughter, it spins a heck of a lot faster. So I was obviously feeling better. Being able to do that ride four times in a row.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You obviously were back to normal, because that's an intense experience. Yeah.
You know, free popcorn and water afterwards while we walked over to Everest, and then we did Everest five times in a row.
Oh, my gosh. And this time at night. Was it dark at this point?
At night. It was pitch black. I'll have to send you one of the on-ride photos, which, again, love the magic bands. Either you tap it or it automatically assigns it to your band. You don't even have to tap it. I think that's a wonderful system. But there's this one picture where I was just like, okay, after the fifth time, I think I was done. My daughter was like, saying, oh, I'm starting to get a headache. So I'm like, okay, let's stop. But I asked one of the cast members at a night party, what's the record? And rumor has it, it was 64 times by one boy who started riding right at the party and just kept going around in the queue. And the cast members were literally shouting out how many times he was going on it as he went on it. So I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, five times was enough for us. You know, not we didn't need 64.
64. I'm going to have to do some math on that. That feels hard to do.
That does, but, you know, maybe from 8 until midnight, you know, I'll have to run that one as well. So after Everest five times, you know, we wanted to do Flight of Passage multiple times. We did it once, but, you know, we were kind of burned out at that point. So, you know, just wanting to get one more ride in, plus, you know, that the walk to the queue and the pre-show, we're just like, you know, we'll do it once. We'll hit Navi River one more time and then call it a night. So that's what we did on day five.
So at this point, you've had lots of Animal Kingdom time.
Yep. And that was our last Animal Kingdom night for the trip. So sad to go, but it was absolutely love that park. It would be great if they had a few more rides. You know, at one point I was checking the app and it looked like both Flight of Passage and Everest was down. And I was thinking, well, what do you do? You know, where do you go from there? But, you know, there's lots of things to do. But from a ride perspective, it'd be nice if they had maybe a couple more.
As a Disneyland person, were you looking forward to Animal Kingdom because it's different than California? Or was it the opposite? Like, I don't care, but I'm just going to go because I'm there.
No, I absolutely was looking forward to it and seeing something different. And I knew of the rides. I didn't watch many ride videos, but I was looking forward to it. Yep. I think we could have done a third day if we had a longer trip. you know, just to kind of see, you know, some of the animals and maybe even ride the safari for a third time, that would have been really fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. And yeah. I'm glad the weather cooperated to make it more yep. enjoyable, because it is not as fun when it's hot, but it is the most gorgeous park when it is, especially when it's nice outside. Okay, so that was your Tuesday, I believe, right?
That was day five. So yes, I believe. No, that was the Wednesday.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right. So
day six, the Thursday, was a Magic Kingdom day and another Christmas party.
Okay. Another Christmas party. And then what, I'm sure you'll be doing things before the Christmas party, but what was your focus of this party?
You know, it was, again, just kind of playing it by ear and, you know, hitting things that we didn't hit before. And, unfortunately it was, the ride lines were longer. So, you know, first we arrived at the park at 1:00. So I think this was our latest arrival at a park, and, you know, just kind of wanted to take it easy and, you know, just went around and did some fast passes and ate at the Skipper Canteen, which we loved. It was a really good meal, and hit the Carousel of Progress. So that was really cool seeing that. And then the party started, and we just rode probably about 10 more rides. Maybe 11. But that night we had the Tony's reservations as well. So a couple things happened. One, I went a little crazy with the cookies. So I found out that, you know, when you walk up to a cast member and say, "Hey, I really love this cookie," they usually give you one or two more, but some of them like literally handed handfuls. So I have a picture of the hotel bed just covered in Christmas cookies, and most of them were wiped out by my coworkers today. So that was really cool. But they were very generous with those cookies. So that was
awesome. Can I mention, they are in packages. So if you don't want to eat them, you can take them with you, which is really nice, so that you can take some to go.
Yeah, I was a little worried about TSA, you know, scanning my bag with a bunch of cookies. And we bought a couple plants from the land, Living with the Land Pavilion. I thought, oh boy, this is just going to have, you know, pull this guy aside and give him the full search written all over it. But nope, everything transported fine. And that was great. But we did more of the same at the party, and then we ended with Tony's, and that was worth it. I think it would have been, you know, even though they started at 9:00, we didn't stay for the entire party that night, 'cause again, we got a little bit burnt out. We ate at Tony's, had some really great food, and then we were thinking about staying for the reserved area of the parade, which is, you know, right at that little plaza for the Christmas tree. But two things happened. One, it was starting to rain, and two, my daughter was starting to get sick. And I was thinking, okay, we're standing in the rain. I could tell she's getting, you know, a cold, and we're all kind of feeling it. And it looked like the parade wraps around that whole plaza area. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, is it going to be difficult for us to leave, you know, and fight the crowds? And if we need to leave in the middle of the parade? And, you know, she told me she wasn't interested in parades. And then when I told her, oh, we have reserved, you know, spaces, she's like, okay, I want to see it now, you know, just for the reserved spaces. So I thought, you know, it's not high on the priority. So we kind of called it a night around 10:30 and just got back to the hotel early, not wanting to push it.
I totally get that, but I was anticipating your opinion of the parade.
yeah we did see portions of it you know, the previous party, and you know, it's a parade. It's, you know, we're not super, even when we go to Disneyland, we don't really stake out spots and watch parades. It's kind of, if we see it as we're walking by, we might stop and say, oh, that's cool, but, you know, other than that, it's not something that we need to, it's not the end all be all of our night.
And Disneyland has really good parades too.
Yeah.
So maybe you're spoiled.
Yep.
But in Magic Kingdom, the only time there's a nighttime parade is during the parties. So you kind of have, if you want you to see a nighttime parade, that's where you have to do it.
Yep. They got you on that one.
I also want to mention that you were there on a Tuesday and a Thursday, and you mentioned Thursday was a lot busier. And we do, if you can make a choice, we usually do recommend Tuesdays as the better option, just for that reason. So.
Yeah, no, I can totally see why, because it was noticeable, and it definitely changed the experience. You know, I think that if we just did the Tuesday night, that the Thursday night may not have been necessary. But again, we still had a lot of fun, and it was great hearing Tony sing, and he'd go around to tables and start singing Christmas carols, and just absolutely fun. So that was great. It was worth it for that.
Yes. And for people that do want to see the parade, that is also a perk there, which can add to the benefit, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. All right. All right. So that was Thursday, and you've got a week under your belt pretty much at this point. So, what was the Friday?
So Friday was Epcot, and you know, with Epcot, we did that was the day where I switched it from Frozen to Test Track, and the Test Track Fast Pass was at 8:30, and I was thinking, you know, I'm just going to kind of play around with changing times and see if I can get Frozen, and then later on, you know, refresh it over and over to get Test Track. And I was able to get Frozen, change it to Frozen Fast Passes at like 11. So we walked in, you know, it was later in the day. So Spaceship Earth, you know, absolutely love that ride. You know, somebody I think in line said, oh, that ride's too dated. And I thought, well, that's the point. You know, it's dated. It's dating humanity, and it's kind of, you know, teaching us, you know, about things. And so we wanted to ride that one again. Road Frozen, absolutely loved it. That was a great ride. It's, you know, my daughter's kind of burnt out on the whole Frozen thing. But it's fun going reverse on a water ride. The effects were great. The area's really cool. Stopped off and got some, you know, school bread and the Kringle and, you know, some snacks afterwards. So really had a good time, with that. And just kind of, you know, bummed around, did Spaceship Earth again. Then we had Living with the Land passes, and that's after we rode that ride, we did the behind-the-scenes tour, which was just absolutely, it was great because, you know, my wife's into gardening, and our tour guide is a student, and she's in botany. Her name was Hope. Really, really just, she said, any questions you have about gardening or pest control, just ask me. And we were asking her a ton of questions and answering. And at one point, you know, they give you, you know, fresh cucumbers that they grew and picked that morning. And it was probably one of the best, you know, cucumbers that I ever had. That sounds kind of silly, but it was so fresh and it was really good. It was about an hour long, and you walk all the way through the greenhouse area.
So we talked about the behind the scenes tour earlier, but it actually wasn't until this day that you did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at that point you had a couple of rides on Living with the Land.
Yep. Yep. And while we were on the behind the scenes tour, I was refreshing the fast pass availability and got Frozen fast passes again. So that was really cool. So we rode that twice in the day, walked around the pavilions a bit. And then we went to the beer garden in Germany for the Oktoberfest meal. And that was worth it. For the entertainment alone, that was awesome. So it's a full German buffet, and then they have traditional music being played. If you've ever heard Edelweiss on cowbells before, you know, or if you've never heard it on cowbells before, you got to go there because it was really cool to see them do that.
Yeah, it feels like a really good value there because you're getting entertainment with your food.
Yeah,
it's not just food, and it's like a full like it's band that plays. So
yep. Yeah, and they were really entertaining. And, you know, what was also kind of interesting about Epcot, we were able to pull Test Track Fast Passes again. So we got that one extra ride in. But, you know, I really didn't want to stay too late and kind of tour some of the World Showcase area, because the one criticism that I have is, you know, man, some people, it seemed like they were going there just to get plastered. You know, wearing shirts, you know, about drinking in Disneyland. And there were some people that were, you know, starting at around 11. And it was like, I could see on a Friday night, you know, that it might start getting a little, you know, I kind of like to walk around and see it. But at the same time, I just don't want to deal with some of the stuff that I was seeing. So that was a little strange.
It is. I anticipated you really wanting to do the World Showcase because Disneyland people often do because it's unique. But I totally understand. You won't even see any pictures of Food and Wine Festival hardly ever on my Instagram because I so dislike it. And I like drinks. Yep. It's just that it is way too rambunctious, especially on the weekends. Yep. And if you have a shirt on that says I'm here to get drunk, you are probably not. We probably don't have a lot in common.
Yeah, and that's, you know, so almost all the meals, like I think it was Hoop-Dee-Doo and the beer garden and everything, you know, there's wine, and, you know, I don't drink at all. My wife, you know, had a few glasses here and there at like Tony's and everything. But, you know, obviously it was groups that were like, I'm going to drink in every world. And, you know, they have little check marks on their shirt of, you know, where they, you know, drank and all that. And it's like, that's just a little, I don't know. It's just something that, you know, we did go around the showcase once. We entered most of the lands, not all of them, and saw some of the shops. And it was just like, yeah, that's okay. Maybe we'll do that next time we go out. It's not nothing, you know, urgent. But I can see that changing. Once they put in Ratatouille, Mary Poppins, and, you know, the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride, I can see spending a heck of a lot more time at Epcot.
Yeah, and you did have, like, the front of Epcot is so under construction that you did have that, you know, to face as soon as you walk in. So it's not quite in its prime form right now. But, yeah, next trip it probably will be. All right. So... I can't remember. Did you say you went on Test Track again or not?
Yeah, we went on Test Track one more time, and then we went back to the hotel because we were just like, oh, that's fine. It was about 7 o'clock at night. You know, didn't want to stay too late. Got a lot done, and we were just like, we're done.
And you did not see Epcot Forever?
No. We're not really into shows that much, you know, and it's also the fact that, you know, once the show is over, then you're dealing with the buses and, you know, and transportation back. And a few people told us stories of, you know, waiting 45 minutes for the bus back to the hotel and couldn't get a minivan, and even lifts were a little hard to get. So just didn't want to deal with it. And it's not super important, you know, to us. So it's just like, okay. And we were kind of tired at that point from all the different tours and things that we'd done. We just were taking it easier the last 2 days.
Yeah, totally understandable. We definitely went through a period with my kids where we purposely skipped the nighttime shows because they're too big to nap. You don't need afternoon breaks, but by the evening, you can be very tired and maybe not care so much about the nighttime show. So everyone has to make choices. Right. Yep. Okay, so that was Friday. You have two more days left. So Saturday the 16th.
Right. And Saturday was our last day in the park. And then Sunday was just a travel day home using Magical Express. So day 8 was Saturday at Magic Kingdom. And we spent the morning. We didn't hit rope drop. It was rope drop ish, if that's a term. So we got into the park around 9:30 and got a lot done. But that morning was cold. So it was the low 60s and windy. I was expecting it to be like the rest of the week where it kind of warmed up in the afternoon and it was tolerable, but it was just cold throughout the whole day. So we didn't really prepare for that. I was in shorts and a light jacket. My wife was kind of shivering. So we did things like, you know, the People Mover and Carousel of Progress and Peter Pan Fast Passes. And then we had lunch at the Liberty Tree Tavern. And that was probably the best meal of the trip. Really? I mean, it was just, yeah, I mean, it was real food. It was, you know, big turkey meal. My wife had a big pot roast, and then we did the ooey gooey, you know, sundaes, and they sat us in the George Washington room in one of the corners. So it was just the setting and the food. It was really good. We really, really enjoyed Liberty Tree.
And was that lunch?
That was lunch. Yeah, it wasn't. We ordered off the menu instead of doing – we learned our lesson from the beer garden and from Hoop-Dee-Doo. It's like, let's not overeat. Let's just order off the menu and, enjoy our time here. So we really liked it. I don't know how it's viewed there, but it was a really good meal.
Well, I think it is generally well liked, but you remind me I haven't been there in a while, so I'd like to go back and experience it. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. And so after lunch, it was about 3-4 o'clock. We decided to go back to the hotel to change. And we kind of had enough, you know, Magic Kingdom. It was a Saturday. It was getting really crowded. There was long lines for everything. I wasn't able to get many fast passes. So I was able to pull another one for Rock and Roller Coaster for later in the evening. Hmm. And, we decided, well, let's go back and change and then go see Hollywood Studios at night and ride Rock and Roller Coaster one more time. My wife was kind of done at this point. She's like, I'm just going to relax and start packing. Because unfortunately with Magical Express, our flight was at 11:20. So they pick us up at 8 o'clock in the morning and we had to have our bags checked in, by about like 7:30. So it was going to be an early morning with lots of travel. So she stayed behind, relaxed, packed. My daughter and I went to Hollywood Studios. We had about an hour for a Rock and Roller Coaster Fast Passes, and I thought, I'll take her to Muppets and, you know, maybe ride Star Tours. But then I broke down and we went to Galaxy's Edge. And yeah, walked by and Smuggler's Run was a 45-minute wait. And I thought, we just got to do it. So we stood in line and we rode Smuggler's Run. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Again, you know, the first movie came out when I was 3, saw it like 6 times in the theater. My dad took me over and over again. Absolutely, you know, love Star Wars. Was totally unimpressed with Smuggler's Run. I just, you know, it's one of those things where at the end, my first mistake, my daughter starts looking up reviews on her phone while we're waiting in line because we have time. She's like, we have to get the pilot seat. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just get what we get. I let a couple people in front of us in line, you know, after the pre-show scene. And sure enough, they got the pilot seat. So it was just like, oh, I thought karma would pay me back, but it didn't. And we're sitting there and it's like, you know, my main criticism of that ride is we're both gunners and we're just kind of randomly mashing buttons. And she can't really see too much because of the, I don't know, she said she couldn't see a lot because of the pilot seat in front of her. And, you know, afterwards I thought, what bugged me about that ride? And to me, Disney rides, you know, everybody should have the same, if not similar experiences. Nobody should, you know, have an advantage on a ride. And just the piloting looked like it was so much more fun. Either, you know, doing the engines or actually piloting the thing, it gives certain people a different experience. And I just didn't really like that. So it's not that I hated it, but it was kind of a disappointment.
Absolutely understand that. And the pilot has a lot of advantages, but one of the main ones is that they get to face forward. And
right.
Everyone faces forward. If you've never been on it, don't be alarmed by facing backwards. But it's the buttons. If you're a gunner or an engineer, your buttons that you push are on the side. So you're constantly looking to your left or right. And all of the action is in front of you. So the pilots get to always look forward.
Yeah. Give the gunners and the engineers another screen to look at, or, you know, simulate the gunner experience on the, I know that would have expanded the ride and you can't walk up and down ladders like they do for the, you know, the gunner seats and the Falcon, but, you know, maybe make the gunner seats move a little bit like, you know, the movie and give the engineers something else to do. But it's like, okay, the experience is the pilot. And I knew enough not to even ask for pilot because I heard that they don't try to accommodate that because they're just trying to get people through. So it was kind of a letdown and it was like, okay, you know, we'll wait until the main attraction opens up in California and go probably in about a year or so or whatever. But yeah, it was kind of a bummer. But I did, you know, I did like the area. I was wearing a hat with an Empire symbol on it. And, you know, the stormtroopers were telling me, you know, good job or whatever every time they saw it. And cast members were giving me a little bit of crud for wearing it. But, you know, it's like, okay, whatever, Empire.
Yeah. What I've heard from Star Wars fans is that they like the queue and the the rooms that you're
the
in before is better than the ride itself.
Than the ride. Yeah. Totally agree. So I'm glad we waited so we could experience that. And then the ride was just kind of a big letdown. So, you know, we bummed around a little bit, looked through some of the stores, but then we had our Rockin' Roller Coaster Fast Pass. Got to experience the projections on the Tower of Terror. I like how it's almost a continuous loop, the show. So it's not just, you know, once a night with the snow and everything. But yeah, our last two rides were Rockin' Roller Coaster. And that's what I mentioned earlier. We did had fast passes for like 8:15 and then immediately pulled another one for like 8:45 and just walked on it.
Yeah. Not a bad way to end the trip since you liked that ride so much.
Nope. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, the next day it was just Magical Express back to Orlando and we were very glad that we got TSA pre-check. So yeah, there was a very long line at Orlando. We're not used to that. We usually fly out of, you know, a couple Bay Area airports where it's not bad, but yeah, very glad we got TSA pre-check.
Absolutely. TSA pre-check could be only offered at Orlando International Airport and I would still have it.
Yeah, there was, we were lucky. One terminal, it didn't look like it was too bad, but another one, the line stretched for so long, it looked like it was at least an hour.
Yeah, it's rough. And a lot of people in that regular line will be frantic because they're trying to get to their flight or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So yes, good way to end your trip, having a TSA pre-check. I just thought of something. We were comparing MaxPass and FastPass Plus. I was thinking the tiers that they have at Disney World for FastPass Plus actually make it hard to even get 3 FastPasses that are worth it, which would be another, like, if you're comparing them, that would be make MaxPass make more sense. But anyway,
And I've heard people just get, you know, kind of throwaway fast passes and scan in and then just walk away from the ride so they can get the tier ones done quickly and then start pulling. So
yes, which is what MaxPass is, you know,
basically. Yeah.
So that would be, if you were making the case for one or the other, that's another vote for MaxPass. Okay, so you made it through your trip. Everything mostly went very well. What do you think your daughter's favorite thing about the trip was?
Again, we're ride people. She loves doing the rides. So last night she was really, you know, kind of upset that we're leaving. I remember that when I was a kid at Disneyland. So, you know, she just wanted to do Rock and Roller Coaster over and over again. So it was definitely the rides. I think Everest was probably the family favorite on the trip. You know, I didn't know how I'd feel about going backwards. It's been a while on a ride, but that's really fun. You actually pull some pretty good, you know, G's kind of going backwards on that one.
Yeah. It gets harder as you get older. So
after 5 times and you start getting a headache, it's like, I think I'll stop.
Yes. So for you as the planner, are there things that in retrospect you would have done differently?
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, you know, the tours were a lot. It felt, you know, at some point like, okay, maybe this is pushing it a little bit, but it did allow us to do so much in such a condensed amount of time. I don't know if I would really have changed anything. I think it kind of went off pretty well. I spent about 1 year and 2 months planning it. So, I think everything was pretty good.
Good. Thrilled to hear that. That's why I do these trip reports before and after, just to compare. And a lot of times the afters match the befores pretty closely. So
that's
what happens with good planning, but also you've done enough research that you were able to kind of change as needed. So
yeah, it's kind of strange. You know, I'm used to watching YouTube videos. And of course I've been listening to your podcast, all I started out listening to all the ones in the November timeframe, but then just everybody, cause you never know what you're going to pick up. I didn't read anything about Hoop-Dee-Doo or know anything until somebody mentioned it on one of the podcasts. So it was like, okay, got to check that out. So you never know what you're going to pick up. And now it's like, okay, probably not going to go back for another 5 years or so, wait for everything to be built, Tron and, you know, everything else. But, now it's back to possibly planning for the next Disney trip. But I think I'm going to take a few weeks before I start thinking about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be lots to see if you wait 5 years. Well, people listening to this one are going to definitely get lots of good ideas for their own trip. So I appreciate you taking the time to document it, because I know you did.
Sure.
And to talk to me again. So thanks, Stephen.
Yeah, no problem. No, thank you for having me on.
I hope you enjoyed that report from Stephen. I do want to share a quick tip of the day that was emailed in by Melissa. If you would like to email in a quick tip, you can send that to info@wjwprepschool.com, and I would be happy to consider it for a future episode. Melissa says, "We were having a hard time with checking into the parks with my son's magic band and his finger. No matter how consistent we were using the same finger and his magic band, it just wouldn't connect. One of the cast members told me to use my finger instead. So each time thereafter, that's what we did. It worked out great, especially when my son was napping in his stroller. I just took off his magic band and used my finger to check him in. You just have to make sure you are with your child when you check in, since it's your finger being used and not someone else's in your party." So that's a fantastic idea. Hadn't considered that, but it seems like it would be super handy, especially with little ones. So I think that is going to wrap up this episode. If you would like to check out some links to things mentioned, you can look at the show notes in your podcast app, or you can go to wjwprepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, and scroll down to episode 232. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.